The old-time radio era, sometimes referred to as the Golden Age of Radio, was an era during which radio was the dominant home entertainment medium. Families regularly gathered around to tune into their favorite programs. Enjoy today's special nostalgic broadcast as Project Independence in You presents the old-time radio.
Suspense. Tonight, Drury's Bone, starring Boris Karloff. Suspense. This is the Man in Black, who tonight from Hollywood bring you as star Mr. Boris Karloff in the remarkable history of a Scotland Yard inspector who found himself in surely the most ironic predicament ever to confront an officer of the law. And so, with Drury's Bones, and with the performance of Boris Karloff, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
The events that are covered in this report began on the night of December the 28th, 1910, although I didn't know it at the time. But it was on that night that I opened my eyes to discover that I was lying behind some trash barrels in a dark London alleyway. Thunder was ripping the skies apart, and the sheets of rain that were pelting on my unprotected body had soaked me to the skin. My head was aching unbearably. As I automatically tried to rise, I found I was so dizzy that I had to hold on to the barrels for support. I reached up to feel of my head. My hair was a mass of dotted blood. In my numb mind, I could feel only one urge. I had to find a lighted building somewhere where someone could get me warm clothing and call a doctor. It seemed hours before finally I saw an office building in which a light was burning and gratefully stumbled in its direction.
Listen to this, Peters. There's a report from the... Why, who are you?
I beg your pardon, I...
Great heavens, man! Come over here by the fire. Here, I'll give you a hand.
Here, let me help you.
That's it. Good Lord. Look at that head. Peters.
Yes, sir.
You better call the doctor.
Right, sir.
Let's get some of these wet clothes off, eh? Easy now.
This is very kind of you.
Now the trousers. There, that's it. Robbed, eh?
I suppose so.
Suppose?
Yes, you see, I don't know.
Oh, come, sir, you must know whether or not you had a pocketbook. There's nothing here now, certainly.
There's nothing?
Who are you, by the way?
Huh?
I say, let's have your name.
My name is... I don't know my name. I don't know! I must have fainted, because the next thing I knew, I was lying on a couch in the office, covered with warm blankets and slowly returning to consciousness. My benefactor and the doctor were talking in hushed voices near the bed.
You say no identification on him, eh?
Nothing except these. I found them under his hat band.
Two ticket stubs, Drury Lane Theatre, December 24th, 1910. Have you checked there?
Oh, there's no possible way to trace them.
I have to call him something.
Yeah.
Drury, that's it. Off to the Drury Lane. And Terence, off to you, Inspector Terence. Drury.
Oh, very well. How long do you suppose this condition will last?
Amnesia? No way of knowing. I'd suggest a bit of rest and then some kind of absorbing work. Not strenuous, of course. You mustn't be allowed to brood, you see. Danger and this sort of thing lies in a man's working himself into a genuine psychosis from worry.
I see.
I say, Carruthers, why don't you put him to work here? At least until you locate his family. After all, you can't very well turn your back on the chap now that he's named after you.
Well, as a matter of fact, it happens that I could use a new man around here very nicely.
Well, there you are.
And as to forgetting one's worries and absorbing work, I can't think of a better place in the world for a man to do that than Scotland Yard.
It was was an amazing stroke of fate that brought me to the London office of Scotland Yard on that dreadful night of December 1910. For I'm sure that nowhere else could I have had more kindness and understanding. Of course, at first the strain was almost unbearable. I had absolutely no recollection of my past. I had no idea who the man was who lived the first 30 years of my life. Or was it 40? Or 20? I never knew. But Carruthers judged me to be about 30, so I came to regard that as my official age. And he was ingenious in providing interesting work for me. During the days that followed, I became so absorbed in the tide of fascinating cases that flowed across my desk that I had no time for thought or reflection on my plight. My own dossier at last reached what is called the inactive file and was gradually forgotten. In short, my present and my future became so interesting that I came to regard my past as a closed book. And so it was, as a full-fledged inspector, I reported one day in May of 1930 to Chief Inspector Carruthers.
Oh, hello, Drury. Have a chair.
Thanks.
Cigar?
Yes, I will, thank you. Havana, eh? Decently prosperous for a Scotland Yard man, Inspector. Sure you're not involved in a scandal of some sort?
I'm sorry, old boy. Gift from my niece. Have a light.
Only one other conclusion, then. You're about to cancel my holiday.
Well, as a matter of fact...
Murder in Soho, I suppose.
No, not in Soho. In Clovelly.
Clovelly? Clovelly? That's a fishing village in Devon.
That's it. Bit of a resort town, too, you know. Thought you might be able to combine business with pleasure.
I do need a rest, you know.
Well, I have here a letter from a Mr. John Stanhope who resides in Clovelly. It seems he unearthed a human skeleton in his backyard, apparently buried there for years. Oh, it'll just be a matter of securing a routine report on the case, perhaps questioning this Mr. Stanhope and possibly a few of the local residents. Then you can pop down to Torquay and bask in the sun for a few days. Ever been in North Devonshire?
I avoid it religiously. I'm allergic to moors.
Well, what do you think of it?
Well, if it were anyone else but you, Carruthers. I suppose I'd better write this all down. John Stanhope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have his address?
Oh, there's no such thing as an address in Clovelly. There's only one street. But you won't have any trouble finding it.
Oh.
What I hear, the townspeople will be quick enough to tell you all about the place where the bones are buried.
How do you do, sir? Welcome to Clovelly.
How do you do? My name is Drury, Scotland Yard.
You'll want a single, I expect.
Yes, if you have one.
Just sign the register, please.
Very well. There. I understand that Mr. John Stanhope is to leave a message here for me.
Oh, you must be here about the bones.
Yes.
Some excitement they've caused, I'll tell you. What with the Ashley Norton's disappearance, a dark mystery these 20 years and all.
Who were the Ashley Nortons?
Lived in that house 20 years ago, they did. That would be just about the time the body was buried, wouldn't it, sir?
Yes. Did you know them?
Never did see her. Saw him once or twice. Strange pair they was. Unsociable. Keeping themselves to themselves night and day in that house on the cliff. No telling what went on behind them doors.
What do people think went on?
There's some that thinks that what went on was murder.
Murder? Why?
There's those who knows the reasons better than I. I'll leave it to them to tell.
Very well. Let's see. I signed this book too, don't I?
Oh, no, sir. That's our permanent register for new guests. But you've been here before.
I? Why, no. No, I've never been here before in my life.
Oh, that's odd. For a moment, I thought I'd seen you here before sometime.
Uh, Mr. Stannard?
Yes?
Inspector Drury, Scotland Yard.
Oh, happy to see you, Inspector. Come in, please.
Thank you.
I must apologize for the condition of the place, Mr. Drury. The events of the past few days have been a bit upsetting, to say the least.
I should think so.
Like a spot of sherry?
Why, thanks, yes. I had rather an enlightening conversation with Mrs. Tumley at the inn last night.
Oh?
Seems the townspeople are quite certain it was a case of murder involving some people named Ashley Norton.
Yes, yes, Roger Ashley Norton. His wife was named Sarah.
Did you know them?
Oh, no. I'd never met them. Very few people had. You see, that was 20 years ago. The house originally belonged to my brother. He died in 1925, and I didn't come into the property until after that.
I know it's natural to jump to the conclusion of murder when one uncovers human bones, but is there any reason to suspect a motive? Did anybody disappear suddenly?
No one but the Ashley Nortons.
I see.
There's nothing to go on but gossip. And it's all highly circumstantial, of course. You see, my brother was renting this house to them furnished by the year, payable in advance. And so he rarely had occasion to call on them. But when the regular check failed to arrive on time, he paid them a visit. The house was vacant. And it was immediately clear that no one had lived in the place for the last 2 months.
Your brother made inquiries, of course.
Oh, yes, yes. No one had seen or heard from them for at least 2 months before.
And what date was that, Stanhope?
Now, let me see. That was December of 1910.
I'm sorry.
He's quite all right.
Oh, here, let me...
No. The maid will attend to it. Let me get you another.
Not right now, thanks.
Well, would you like to examine the garden?
The garden?
Yes, where the bones were discovered.
Oh, yes, of course. Out through the French windows, here to the side, I take it.
Yes. Here we are. Just over here, Inspector.
See. And the tree stood about here, eh?
The what?
The holly tree.
I must admit you're a jolly fine detective, sir. The gardener discovered the body while removing the dead holly tree, all right, but I wasn't aware that I mentioned the fact to Scotland Yard.